Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 17 December 2024. Would you all please take a minute and get you out a pen and paper? Please, I want to give you an address in a minute. But please, if you will, give out a pen and paper. Before I go to give an update on my grandson, actually both grandsons, I just want to make mention again, of course, of the two books we're offering on Is Christmas Christian and Is Cremation Christian. They're available. Both of them are very important books in my mind because it leads you further to the truth. They're $15. Now, I'll announce this next week, week after next. There'll only be one live broadcast next Monday and the following Monday. Of course, the next Tuesday and Wednesday, of course, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and I don't do much in the celebration, but people do. I'm not going to top their nights. And the following week 31st, will be New Year's Eve, of course. So it'll be two live broadcasts next week. I'll mention books twice more after tomorrow night. And that's it. So just get them while you can. Don't forget, starting January 1st, we will be changing shortwave frequencies. Now, this is very important because on January 1st, this live broadcast at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern will be going to 7520. Off of 6115 to 7520. The repeat program, the same program that's on 8 o'clock, will rebroadcast at 11 o'clock Eastern on different frequency, 4840. 4840 for the repeat broadcast, 4840. Please mark it down so you don't miss it, okay? Please. Don't forget, Lord willing, we're going to have church this weekend. Probably be remote like it was the last time because it's supposed to get nasty here again in the hills this Friday night into Saturday. So, but we'll do a broadcast. And our guest this weekend at 1 o'clock is going to be a very, very impressive lady in my mind. Stella Emanuel will be sharing the truth about the COVID hoax and what these jabs have done to millions of people all over the world. Now, she'll be sharing this with facts, folks. She's a doctor. She's not making this up. And now, please, if you don't mind, giving an update on Dylan. And, by the way, his little brother, Ryan, who suffered second-degree burns on his hands and face. Those will be healing, I'm sure, with some scarring, I'm sure, also. But his biggest problem now, folks, is he feels guilty because his older brother is working on his project for school. It was his idea, so he's kind of blaming himself. And he's having some PTSD from seeing his older brother on fire. Pretty horrendous stuff. But I'm going to give you an address now. I'm going to ask you to please, please, please take time to send my grandson Dylan a card, a get well card. And if you want to mention Ryan, R-Y-A-N, and the card also, that he's in your prayers, please do so, folks. That means a lot to him, too, I'm sure. But if you got a pen handy, here's the address. It's a little bit lengthy. If you don't get it tonight, you can call the office tomorrow at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448, and Faith will have the address. And if you miss her, she'll call you back and get it for you. But here's the address. His name is Dylan, D-Y, like in Yankee, D-Y-L-A-N, Dylan. Last name, of course, same as mine, Paul, P-A-U-G-H, P like I'm Papa, A-U-G-H. Now, here's the address. It's 640. That's 640. Hempstead. Hemp like in hemp, like you smoke hemp. H-E-M-P. H-E-M-P. Stead. S-T-E-A-D. Hempstead, S-T-E-A-D, Place, that's 640 Hempstead Place, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and the zip is 80906, 80906. One more time, Dylan Paul, 640 Hempstead Place, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80906. Please, if you would, send a card. Just tell him you're praying for him and thanking for him. We're doing our best to encourage him to want to get better. I have very good reason for that, but I'm not going to share it right now on the program. We don't have time. But please, if you have time and you can afford a couple bucks for a card, send Dylan a card and mention Ryan if you want to, please. R-Y-A-N, Ryan. That he's in your prayers also for a lot of reasons. Please do that, folks, please. And again, Faith will have the address tomorrow. And if I think, I'll give it again tomorrow night. Okay, now let's get into our guest, with our guest tonight. Our guest tonight, I've known now, I'm guessing 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. Been on the program several times over the years. He came to a little fellowship one time and spoke to us about the organization he works for. A very fine group of individuals who are doing their best to help Christians stand for the truth. When they're prosecuted for it, these people will defend you. Now, this is a group of people, folks, that I fully support. No, I'm sure they don't have everything exactly right, but which of us do? It's a group of people that are willing to take a stand and try to make a difference and show people that they're cared for. Somebody's there to help defend them for standing for their faith. And, folks, there's nothing right now in my mind in America, nothing more important in America, nothing more important in America than standing for the Word of God. Now, you don't have to believe me, not frankly, that's up to you. But nothing will get better, not morality, not the economy, not anything will get better until we repent and turn back to God, period. That's it. No man can do it. No group of men can do it. We've got to pray for that. But Jonathan Alexander works for a group called Liberty Council that I've supported for a long time and still do. Jonathan, are you there?
Hi, Pastor Bush. I'm here, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's always a thrill having you on, Jonathan, because I believe in so much in what you're doing. But for the new listeners, we get new listeners every night, and we pick up some stations every now and then, new stations. Would you tell the folks who Jonathan Alexander is and what you do and what you all do?
Pastor Butch, thank you. I'm an attorney. I work for Liberty Counsel. Liberty Counsel is a nonprofit litigation firm, so we do religious liberty law all across the country. I head up the D.C. office, so I'm based out of Washington, D.C., and I do mainly the political affairs that are here in Washington, D.C., but I also handle some of our legislative work. So we have attorneys in every single state across the country. We also litigate in every federal circuit, so as low as the district courts and all the way up to the Supreme Court, we've been fighting battles for Christians. And even in this past year, we've won every single case that we've taken to the Supreme Court, every single case that we've briefed at the Supreme Court since 2016, we've won. So we've had sort of an undefeated record in any case that we've intervened in at the Supreme Court, including a 9-0 victory in front of the Supreme Court for Hal Shurtleff. He wanted to fly a Christian flag in front of City Hall in Boston, and we took that case forward. It was denied twice by the city. We lost at the lower circuits in Boston, but fought that fight all the way up to the Supreme Court where we won. So we've been at it for Christians. We've been at it for our faith. And like you said, there's nothing more important than staying close to Scripture and staying close to the dictates of God's Word during this time. I'll add another thing. There's nothing more important than pastors being able to unequivocally preach the Word of God, especially in this season. And we want to fight for Christians to be able to defend their faith, to proclaim their faith, and pastors to do the job of proclaiming God's truth every Sunday from behind the pulpit.
Amen. And folks, I got to share this story about Jonathan. His dad is also a preacher in Massachusetts. The reason Jonathan decided to become a lawyer, a Christian lawyer, was to defend his dad, because he knew one day, because of what daddy preached, he'd end up in trouble with the law for preaching the Bible in Massachusetts, which is not known to be one of the most Christian places in the country, that's for sure. And ever since I heard him share his testimony at our little fellowship, I was highly impressed with that type of integrity that a man's willing to do that for one reason to start with, that was to defend his daddy in case he had to, and also be prepared to even defend people like me if necessary. And Jonathan, would you say there's a good case, a good chance in the near future that folks like me may end up in trouble with, we'll say, the law because of what we're doing?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, Christian history has gone through its initiation, where it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees that really fought against the words of Christ, right? They were the religious leaders, and they appealed all the way to Rome. The crucifixion of Christ was because of religious persecution. They were persecuting Christ and his followers. It didn't stop there, despite Christ rising again and his followers being imbued with the Holy Spirit and willing to spread the gospel throughout all the nations. Rome persecuted them. If it wasn't Rome, it was Constantine. It was a number of different civilizations over time that sought to persecute and silence Christians, to silence their ability to preach the gospel. And you look at Christianity in some of the unreached areas of this world, whether it's the Muslim countries or certain countries in outer Asia that don't allow the open proclamation of the gospel. Christians have always been persecuted. There's always been darkness that has tried to overcome light. But for you, Pastor Butch, you know, you're preaching God's truth, especially during this Advent season. You're bringing light into this world. At least for now, we do have a reprieve in this country where we are able to proclaim the truth of Christ. We're able, as is done tens of thousands of times all across the country, able to open our churches and preach the gospel freely. But there was a time not too long ago where COVID said that, hey, dealing with a disease is more important than preaching the gospel. And so it's not that far in our distant past that we've seen government come down against Christianity. And certainly our efforts here at Liberty Council is such that it's not, if it comes again in the future, we'll be able to be armed and ready to defend the truth of the gospel. So to answer your question squarely, at least for right now, we see sort of a calm in the storm, sort of a reprieve where we can regather ourselves, you know, still be able to take hold of our faith and encourage one another. But we have to be well aware that governments all throughout civilization have always targeted Christianity. And if that comes up again, of course, Pastor Butch will be there to be able to fight to defend the faith and defend the truth that has been granted to us, given to us as stewards to proclaim that truth of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I think we both can agree that our nation is taking a bad turn in a bad direction. Over the last several years, 20, 30, 40 years even, we're seeing more and more of falling away from the Word of God and the man in control of this country that want the Word of God to restrict them for what they want to do because of what we call morality. We're seeing that happen on an increased basis for sure. And you say we have a slight reprieve, and I agree. From what it was, we have some. But from what I grew up in back in the 50s and 60s, Jonathan, we've lost a lot of ground.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Pastor Butch. I will say I am encouraged by the young men that God has in the pulpit. I was able to witness an ordination of a young man. He's a young father of, you know, three or four children, you know, married to his wife. During his ordination, the preacher that was praying and preaching over him just said, you know, God has always gifted one or two in a generation that could preach. For some, it was Charles Spurgeon. For others, it was Jonathan Edwards. I'm sure for your generation, it was Pastor Butch. But God has always just found one or two men that he leaned on in a particular way, and he had them be consigned and conformed to his righteousness and goodness, and also gifted them with the ability of just speaking the word and preaching it. And he's leaned on those men to say, hey, you'll be the one that carries my truth forward. And so it does seem difficult when the majority or, you know, the forces, the powers that be, the political nature, the culture stands against God's truth. But God only needs one. He needs an Elijah that is, you know, lying by the brook. He needs a Jeremiah that's down at the bottom of the pit. He needs a Daniel that's in the lion's den. He just needs one prophet, one preacher to say, I've had an encounter with God, and I will take that truth. I will take that message wherever he leads me. He just needs one Moses in front of the burning bush. And so, you know, with the balance of understanding that, yes, we need to rescue and save the culture and save those that God has put in our paths, that keeps us going and that keeps us motivated to do his work. But at the same time, his truth is going to be marching on. He just needs one individual to be faithfully preaching his word. And so it's sort of that balance. You realize the threat, you realize the darkness that's out there, but you're so overcome with the light and the truth that God always provides in each generation that, you know, motivates you to keep going and to keep pushing for his righteousness, really to consume this nation and ultimately consume the entire world. That's what we're pushing for, and I think we're on the right side.
Well, now, and you've been with Liberty Counsel for how many years now?
It's going on 9 years, so celebrating 9 years this upcoming June. And, you know, if we were to be able to look back and look at all the victories that God has blessed us with, it's really been an incredible ride. Think of the past, you know, 4 years where government wanted to shut down churches on the basis of COVID, saying that liquor stores could be open and casinos could be open, marijuana shops, abortion clinics could all be open. But no, if you wanted to gather with saints in your home for, you know, 1 hour, just 10 saints, it would be considered illegal in a state like California. But us doubling down, knowing that God's truth had to be proclaimed, knowing that his instruction that you gather with the saints had to be upheld, you know, we decided to fight in the courts and rebuff against some of these governor's orders, rebuff against some of the sheriffs that were going around and locking down churches and making sure that Christians had the ability to make the decision that I choose to follow Christ in this moment. I choose to gather with the other saints and worship him. And seeing his victories slowly come about, seeing, you know, four cases up to the Supreme Court and comprehensive victories saying, no, churches are distinct because of our First Amendment. They are allowed to meet even in the pandemic. And yes, that was the season, you know, sort of 4 years ago, one specific disease, we could all name it COVID-19, but imagine how many more times in the future that some government or some despot or some rogue land surveyor decides that, hey, I don't want this church operating in this town, or some tax assessor says, hey, this church shouldn't have its nonprofit status. I don't want them to be able to meet here without any taxes. Or some rogue IRS agent decides that, hey, I want to levy taxes against this church and shut them out from being able to do the work of God. Imagine all the times in the future that this attack is going to come up. We needed to have good legal precedent and good legislative laws in place to say that, no, the church is untouched. The Church of Jesus Christ in America has a special category that we have to protect. And COVID gave us an opportunity to fight. As we look forward to years ahead, we're going to continue that fight to make sure that the gospel is proclaimed.
And how, now you mentioned about your success in Supreme Court, and praise God for that. But on general, you say that, would you say your cases are 80% successful on lower courts, 90%? What would you say y'all's success rate is?
Yeah, so it's incredible. So many of the cases you'll never hear about, many of the tough cases where a student is told that they can't read their Bible during lunchtime, or that they can't pray during a quiet time, or that if they're graduating from high school, that they can't mention God in their speech. many of these cases you'll never hear about. I'd say 90% of these cases you'll never hear about because it only takes one strongly worded letter or a strong phone call or showing up next to the client and saying, no, you don't understand that we've made a commitment to follow God's truth firstly, and secondly, because our founding fathers have placed such strong protections for our conscience and the law, we can fight and express these beliefs. Sometimes it only takes that letter. Sometimes it only takes showing up. Sometimes it only takes a phone call to end that case right there. So a lot of the times you don't hear about these cases bubbling up through the courts because they're fought and won very early on, almost to a 90% degree. And that's
great.
Not a,
praise God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's not.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying it's not a virtue of our skill. It's not a virtue of our prowess. It's really a virtue of God's truth penetrating through even, you know, the dark forces of government schools and employers that have no regard for God's truth. It's a virtue of his truth just pressing through. And oftentimes what you'll hear about that individual client, whether it's someone that's at work that's being denied a promotion because of their faith, because they don't want to take a day off, because they're not granted a day off of Sabbath to worship God, or you know, a student that's in a position where their faith is at stake, oftentimes it's their colleagues that rally around them or their other fellow classmates that are saying, no, I've seen their faith. I've seen that person put under test. I've seen that person come alongside me when I had a hurt, and maybe I don't believe the same way, but I want them to believe the same way. I appreciate their faith. I like the way their testimony lives out. And so oftentimes it's the colleagues, it's the people that are just on the fringe of this issue that don't really have anything at stake that are defending the rights of Christians because they live around Christians and they see the light that Christians bring into the workplace and into the classroom. So it is so encouraging what the testimony of Christ does to an individual's life and how that penetrates and influences everyone around them.
Amen. Well, you know, steadfastness for Christ. People may not like you because you stand, but they respect you because of what you stand for, because you live by the faith that you proclaim. But now, I'm also seeing now a lot of people who were lost their jobs. They were harassed really, really overwhelmingly because they wouldn't take the jab, I call it. Are winning money now in lawsuits. Is that happening that you know of too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of these cases that, you know, the employers signed NDAs, which is non-disclosure agreements, saying, hey, sort of make this go away. Your client was right all along, but just don't mention our name in the news. And that's fine. You know, it was never about punishing the employers. It was always about upholding rights. So as you're saying, yeah, we've seen a number of people be rewarded if they were fired from work, if they were denied promotions, if they were overlooked amongst other colleagues, if they were sort of persecuted in their workplace because they wanted to make a healthcare decision. We're seeing a lot of those cases finally make their way up through the court system and our folks being victorious. And, you know, we're not vengeful, we're not seeking retribution, but we are saying that, hey, certain things are right, certain things are wrong. And if an individual has a religious conviction against putting something in their body because of conviction against abortion or and how the vaccine was developed using aborted fetal tissues, or they just want to make their own, you know, therapeutic decisions between themselves and their doctor, they can do that. An employer, you have to respect their rights. You know, employees are not slaves. They're not owed to their masters. We still have individual rights. We still have our own constitution and the ability to express ourselves under this republic. You shouldn't be forced to do something that goes against your conviction. And so we fought those cases, and it all sounds like sort of legal terms, and that's the argument that we had to make in court. But as you're seeing, you are seeing some of the encouraging stories of these folks winning money against their employers, against some of these big box corporations that wanted to push them out because of their faith. It was just one of those fights that we had to be a part of. I do want to say, I want to contextualize it once again. You know, that was just one sliver of time. It lasted for maybe 2 to 3 years. in the grand scheme of things, you know, you're like, man, that was only 2 years of a hard fight. It affected the individual persons. But we have to look at the grand economy of what God is doing across eons and across the universe, across all of generations. He's always just wanted faithful men and women to stand up to that fight, no matter what it was. You know, whether it was Elijah standing up to the prophets of Baal, you know, whether it was individuals saying, like Peter and Paul, that's, you know, silver and gold I don't have, but I will tell you in the name of Jesus to get up and send along, to get up and walk. All these things throughout generations, there's always just been one moment where Christ or God has asked of his servants to make a decision to choose him. COVID was just the most recent example, but you want to remain faithful so that when the next time comes up, the next opportunity to reflect his truth to the world and to make a decision for him, you're ready and armed and willing to do it.
Amen. Well, obviously the cases you won were very, very important. And I'm now seeing, actually in society, some of the bigger corporations that went what everybody calls woke are now changing their mind. They're reversing some of their decisions on their woke decisions. They're actually going back to some relevance of morality and some turning away from this insanity we call woke wokeness. So that's a good thing also. But, you know, what you say about we had to stand, we did, because if we would have tolerated that, oh, it won't last long. If we would have tolerated that, they would have took us further down the road in a total tyranny, would they not?
No, I think you're absolutely right. If you take a step back from what it was within our communities here in America, and you look at what the World Health Organization is attempting to do, so take a step back and look at the WHO and their pandemic preparedness treaty, or what the UN is trying to do, the United Nations, you know, there's a group of unelected bureaucrats all across the world that are steeped in attempting to limit freedom. They don't like liberty. They don't like the ability of their own individual citizens expressing themselves or being reverent in the way they want to or worshiping the way they want to. And they see America as a consistent threat to it. They see the freedoms that America provides its citizens as a consistent threat to it. And so you have the WHO, the World Health Organization, you have the UN and other pandemic preparedness type countries saying, no, we have to silence the speech that we don't like across the world. We have to silence the ability of Americans to continue to produce liberty and export that across the world. And so you're like, well, why do they want to silence that? Why do they want to keep us from talking or keep us from preaching? It's because on the flip side, they have their own agenda. They have a communistic, abortion-minded agenda. They have a state-run media agenda that says it's only going to be our way that's the right way. And so, you know, if you have a child like China did, if you have more than one child, you know, we'll require you to abort that child because that's against our state-run policy. There's so much...
Hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought, Jonathan. Hang on through the break, but don't lose that thought. Hang on the break, please. Folks, I'm going to talk about it. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we are back. And by the way, the phone line's open, 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We're going to give you the phone number you can call. And you, if, now, listen, please, you have a friend or you person or somebody else who has been persecuted because of your beliefs on the job. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're a school teacher. Maybe you work in a public area where they told you to keep your mouth shut. You can't read your Bible. You can't pray, whatever it may be. That is a lie. You can pray in school if you want to. There's not a thing they can do about that. Maybe you cannot conduct in the classroom general prayer, so to speak, but you don't have every right to pray in the school. And these things we have come to accept because we were told we can't. Folks, they told the disciples they couldn't preach the name of Jesus, but they did anyway. Yeah, they went to jail and were martyred, a lot of them, but they preached anyway. Telling the truth in America today can be a very dangerous thing. When people hate the truth, they not only hate the truth, they hate the truth bearer. They would take out on those that God's called to preach the truth. So if you don't want someone who needs to talk about some legal consulting when it comes to your duty to God to preach the truth and tell the truth, we're going to give you a phone number in a minute for you to call and ask somebody at Liberty Counsel what you need to do. Now, if I did not believe in what these people were up to, if I did not believe in their cause, and no, I'm sure a lot of people don't, that maybe they don't do certain things, certain ways everybody thinks they ought to do, but that's, I understand that. But no one can do everything. What these folks have done has been a resounding victory in 90% of the cases they've taken on for the glory of God and for the sake of those that they were trying to help who were being persecuted. So get ready, write down that phone number, please, and let's go ahead and see if we can get some people to join up and take a stand with us in this, because this is a battle that we have to win. Not for the glory of God above everything all, but everything is for the glory of God. But secondly, if you want to give it a second, God always, but our children and grandchildren depend on you and I to take a stand. What are we going to do? Sit back and suck our thumbs and hope it goes away? Or even become active in the war? Jonathan, go ahead. You were starting a statement during it before the break, and you resume that, please. And then give out the phone number when we get a chance.
Yeah, so I'll start with the phone number. The best way to reach us is at 407-875-1776. So 407-875-1776. The best email address is lc.org, just five letters, lc.org. And all our attorneys, our legal assistants will be able to walk you through at least the preliminary stages of whatever you're going through and be able to do the intake that it needs for us to be able to fight your case. You know, I was just saying before we got to the break, you know, essentially that there we do have to pay attention to what's going around globally. I think it's right that Americans are isolationists. We're able to, you know, protect our homes, protect our borders. You know, but I do think God has given us the opportunity to share with the rest of the world some of the things that he's viewed upon us, these principles of liberty. And so we do have to pay attention to the World Health Organization, to the United Nations, to, you know, superpowers like China and Russia that are trying to import to the rest of the world an anti-God communistic mentality. You know, they seize on certain opportunities, whether it's COVID or certain wars that they're fighting, to try to excise God from the culture, from the individuals that are there within their countries. And so Americans do have a duty, and we've stepped up to that duty. Anytime missionaries are sent across the world, Americans by far and large have the largest missionary population across the world in countries that are otherwise unreached, in countries that are closed off to outside messaging. Americans are willing to go there for one purpose, to share the truth of God and the gospel and what he's done in their lives and what he can do in the lives of the nations all across the world. And so we have to keep our eye on the prize of sharing the gospel. I think it's right, and we'll be up to the fight when it's in our borders and within our nation, but not be afraid to go out and reach the rest of the world. That was the great commission that God gave us, and he gave it to us at a time where it was probably toughest for him to share with his disciples, right? On the precipice of the cross, and even after the cross, his last message was to go out there and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them the truth of what Christ has done in our lives, and spreading that to the rest of the world. So we're encouraged at the opportunities that we have to share his truth, once again, within our borders, but also across to the rest of the world.
Amen. No doubt about it. Let's take a phone call from Joe from right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you for taking the call, Butch.
You're welcome.
You know, Jonathan, I've been following your articles on the lawsuit with the Southern Poverty Lawless Center and what's going on with them. And I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit on that.
Certainly happy to do it. Southern Poverty Law Center has, you know, dubbed themselves the hate police of the world. And so they recently, or some years back, set out a map that was called the hate map, where they targeted a bunch of groups and said, we disagree with their messages, therefore these groups are hateful groups. It's basically you know, these are groups that we hate. And amongst them, they had a number of different organizations, but they named organizations that you probably respect and you pay attention to, like Liberty Council, like the Family Research Council, like Alliance Defending Freedom, like Focus on the Family. You know, organizations that are doing public interest type work, fighting out in the public square, but doing so from a Judeo-Christian perspective. So they targeted a number of these organizations, and that's fine. You know, someone can put our website and put our name and address on, you know, their page and say, hey, these are hate groups. They can do what they want. But it became a particular offense when the FBI and the DOJ started referencing their map or referencing their website saying, oh, these are authenticated hate groups. And so that's when we began lawsuits against the SPLC for defamation and for trying to spread slander against these groups that are doing Christ's work in the public square simply because the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Lawless Center, decides that they disagree with our message. So a number of suits have cropped up over the years. I think as early as 2014, 2016, a number of these suits have cropped up. We are in the final stages of a few lawsuits that were directed against our attorneys and directed against you know, some of the other organizations that we've worked with. But we'll ultimately be successful in these for two reasons. One, the defamation laws in our country, the anti-defamation laws in our country are pretty strong. We can't just go out there and slander a group or spread libel about a group. So the First Amendment exceptions with regard to defamation, they're pretty strong in our country, so we'll use those. So that's the first reason. The second reason is because, as I mentioned before, we're preaching truth. We're concentrating on the good word of God and sharing that. And there's so much good that is coming from these organizations, including our own, that none of these libelous or slanderous statements against us stick. And so we're relying on God's providence in that regard, but also doing the fight that we need in court to make sure that, individuals individually can spread the gospel, but also as organizations. Organizations can go out, do public interest work, and not have to face these slanderous or libelous lawsuits from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Wow. Okay.
So actually, they're more like the Antichrist spirit flowing through them, and they're just attacking everybody that has a sense of love and righteousness.
That's right. It's I've interacted with some of their lawyers, just stared at them face to face, and part of you just says, man, you're so broken. You're so broken. You're looking for an outlet because your guilt and your shame. Lay that guilt at the foot of the cross. This just unload that burden. As individuals, you want to reach them and preach the gospel to them and fuel them with the mercy that we were first given and are continually receiving from the grace of God. But to do that, we do have to fight these fights in court. So we're not afraid of taking many of them on in court when we have to protect our name and protect the organization. It certainly wasn't the first line of attack against some of these organizations. It won't be the last. But in this fight, I think we will be victorious because of the strength of our laws and the testimony of the work that we're doing. So we'll keep up in that fight.
Okay, good question. Do you have anything else?
Well, I always say this every time I call and get our spiritual house in order. The day of reckoning is coming, and it's going to be pretty soon.
Well, Joe, thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Folks, line's open, 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. I'm sure you're aware, Jonathan, that the FBI and I think a couple other organizations have told the churches they might want to consider arming themselves because of the hate against the churches. I'm sure that you probably saw that article. They were told to prepare for what could happen. And just yesterday, it was a Christian school shot up in Wisconsin. I noticed in the last few shooting events, they have been Christian schools that have been attacked. So I don't look for the hate against God and God's people to let up much. Maybe by the grace of God, there'll be some more common sense moral direction in some of the people that are in, we'll say, making laws or upholding the laws. But I don't see this hate for Christ diminishing at all. I see it increasing because maybe by some of the grace of God, we're gaining some ground and they hate it. Some of the woke corporations are reversing their decisions, taking a stand, we'll say, on the moral side of the aisle. Maybe we'll see that even increase the hatred from the other side. I don't know. It always amused me, though, that everyone's to be tolerated. Everyone must be tolerated but you and I. Now, why is that?
I think, the words of Christ is considered foolishness to individuals that are evil. They don't understand the fact that a God would interject into the world and become just like us and bear our burdens. That's sort of counter the narrative. It's countercultural. It's counter what any individual would do. And so it's hard to perceive that. And what I love about Christ is that when Christ comes into the world, he starts off and talks about repentance. He says, repent through John the Baptist's message. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He reads from the book of Isaiah and says, all these words of this prophecy are fulfilled today, right now. So therefore, repent. But he also, in his ministry, says something so powerful in Matthew. He says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ, after preaching some of his strongest messages against sin, his strongest messages for righteousness, his strong messages saying the kingdom of God is at hand, he says, but come here, come and learn from me. I will take your burden, that guilt that you're carrying, that shame that you're holding on to, that thing that you can't rid yourself on, I can take that from you. I've laid that down at the foot of the cross. I've died for your sins. I've given you the opportunity to be reconciled to Christ, paid for that sin. I've risen from the dead so that you don't have to carry that burden anymore. You don't have to hold on to that anymore. But then he goes a step further. He says, I will give you a yoke. I will give you a brace. You know, a yoke was used for cows, for them to be able to work out in the field. He says, I will fashion a yoke that fits your shoulders. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, you'll find rest for your soul. Christ, in all that he's done, always had one mission, which was glorifying God, bringing glory to the name of God, and also reconciling creation back to God, including humans, that were enemies at the time that Christ took on our sin and bore our penalties. And he says, I'm always going to keep that in mind. So you can spit upon me, and you can spit upon those that bear my name. You can reject me. You can reject those that bear my name. You can persecute me. And he says, hey, they persecuted me. They'll persecute you too, talking to Christians. You can do all those things against me, but I will still be here to redeem you, to redeem your soul and reconcile you to the Father. And that's the beauty of the gospel. As hard as this world will be, as cold as this world can get, there will always be the warmth of Christ. There will always be his light that shines through the darkness, inviting you to come. Because he saved our soul, Pastor Bush, because he's put us in a right standing with him, I don't know what other message we're able to share. Like I don't know what else. You know, there isn't a political party, there isn't an agenda, there isn't a legislation, there isn't a law that we can put forward that will ever be as powerful as what Christ has done in our hearts.
Amen.
As long
Amen.
As we're sharing that, as long as the, you know, the individuals at schools, at their workplaces, at the universities are sharing what Christ has done in their lives and pointing them back to Scripture, Pastor Butch, I think we'll be victorious. I think we'll be on the right side. God is for us, and so these things can't stand against us because we're pushing forward his truth.
Well, we're all looking forward. The day is coming, brother, when Christ himself will reign for 1,000 years in this earth, and we'll get to be here with him. That's the ultimate outcome is going to be in his favor no matter what happens on this world. But a quick question about Kim Davis. I haven't heard about her for a while. How is she doing? What's going on with her life right now? Kim Davis, the Umatilla County Clerk in Kentucky, was arrested for not giving a marriage license to two homosexuals. What's going on there?
Yeah, so personally, Kim Davis is doing what the most average Americans are doing. She's a grandmother now, and so she's helping her son, who was very active during her fight, raise their grandchildren. She's still married. She's retired now. She's no longer the county clerk there in Rowan County, Kentucky. But unfortunately, her legal battle is continuing. You know, we're 10 years coming up on the day, 10 years this summer, that Kim Davis has had to fight for her ability to respect Christ in her workplace by not issuing the same-sex marriage licenses. We're still fighting her legal battles. The Congress, two sessions ago, so the Congress in the 117th session, went all out and tried to solidify same-sex marriage as being a legislative right. It was the first time they did so. They pushed their hands so far in this legislation, however, that it reopened the door for us to bring the Kim Davis case forward as a challenge to the Supreme Court. So it's only been the Supreme Court that has recognized same-sex marriage. It's only been certain presidents in the executive branch that have recognized same-sex marriage. And so our fight was relegated to those spheres. But when the legislature through Congress put this forward, it sort of united Congress, it united the judges, and united the executive branch all together so that the Kim Davis case can be one of the foremost cases that challenges this entire scheme of same-sex marriage. So she's, doing what the average American is doing probably here on a Tuesday night, just raising her family, watching her grandkids grow, celebrating the Advent season. But her legal case is going on, and we're going to continue fighting this case for Kim Davis, but also for the truth of how God has designed marriage.
Well, now, the case is still ongoing. Where is it? Is it now before Supreme Court? Where is it?
Yeah, so there's a number of offshoot cases that have come from Kim Davis, people really testing the bounds of what the circuit court has said. So Kim Davis, as an individual, was given immunity, right? The governor at the time said she didn't have to sign her name to a marriage certificate. She didn't want to. You know, she was given immunity when she was released from jail. You know, she no longer had to serve that specific term of being in contempt of court. But there have been other civil suits. So other civil suits where the threshold is a lot lower. They're able to sue Kim Davis for a couple hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so she's having to fight those cases one by one. You know, unfortunately, there is no real bounds to how far individuals can go in threatening her and levying lawsuits against her. But we're still in the fight for her to clear her name entirely. I think she's sort of resigned herself to knowing that because she was such a public figure for the faith and for one man, one woman marriage, that she'll always have to suffer sort of the attacks that come with her taking that initial stand. But we also do believe that there are a lot more individuals that saw what she did, that believe the same way she did, that are willing to take the stand. And so, you know, she was a pioneer and in many ways a martyr in that regard. But she has encouraged other folks to take up the fight. Where she is personally is that, yeah, she's going to have to keep fending off these lawsuits. We're her attorneys, so we'll be standing alongside her. There are other folks that are going to carry the baton forward just to make sure that God's truth is protected and revered, even in the public square.
Well, now, can there be an end to this? I mean, is there going to be some time when somebody's going to say, finally, well, that will take the Supreme Court to end all this nonsense?
It could be. So you sort of look at some of the other victims like Kim Davis or Jack Phillips has had to fight. He was the baker, of course, out of Colorado. He's had to fight, you know, six cases, several high-profile cases for his ability to defend his rights against being forced to compromise his faith. So at a point, the Supreme Court, even the Colorado Court, was like, look, enough with this guy. Like, he believes the way he does, but he can still operate in the public square. So there are examples of individuals that were in the same situation as Kim Davis that, you know, sort of the time has run out on the attacks against them. We're still in the midst of fighting Kim Davis case. There's a number of other clients that will have to fight for around the situation. So for the time being, we're still fully engaged. Of course, any prayers that you can lift up for her and for her family and for the attorneys that are assigned to her, keep doing so. But also know that there are victories as well. There are markers along the road that remind you that you are on the right track, that God hasn't forsaken his people, and that you can stand up for his truth and not be afraid of the persecution.
Well, now, another question along those lines. What would you estimate its cost to keep her case going? What would the cost be for that you all have went in and done pro bono?
Millions. Without shorting, 10 years of litigation, a team of lawyers filing, flying in and out, fighting back, protecting her. It's been millions. And a lot of these cases, I appreciate you bringing that up, Pastor Butch, a lot of these cases are, you know, in the seven figures that it takes in order to litigate them thoroughly, some often in eight figures. So we, as a nonprofit organization, you know, do rely on the help that we receive from individuals, the support that we receive from folks that are inspired by the work that we do. But we are able to win in court as well. And so a lot of the legal fees after fighting this long are redeemed, and we're able to win that back. But for our ability to be forthright and looking forward as to, hey, these are the next crop of cases. You know, Kim Davis's case is 10 years old, but there are cases that are bubbling up now that we'll probably be fighting for another decade or so. So our ability to look into the future and say, hey, this is where the culture is going. These are some of the issues that we have to pay attention to. That's where God has placed us. And so being good stewards of the finances, the resources that he's given us, the good support that our friends help us with, but also using those legal victories to turn around and taking on another fight is, I think, how we can be good stewards of what he's given us and being agile and being ready for the next fight to come.
Folks, Liberty Counsel does need our help, and I personally try to help when I can. I'll be doing so in the very near future again, help them fund these cases. A number you can call again, and please get their address. If you send them $5, do so. Send them $100, do that, $500, whatever you can do. They're fighting for the rights of Kim Davis and me and thousands of others like her, spending millions of dollars on the cases. And get the phone number one more time, Jonathan, please. What's the phone number again?
Yeah, it's 407-875-1776. 407-875-1776.
And if someone asks for the address to send donation to, maybe you can do it online or with credit card, y'all can do that, right?
Yeah, the best way is lc.org. So five letters, lc.org. Go on the website, and there's, you know, one or two clicks that you can do in order to give online.
And folks, if you can do that, give through the mail. It'd be appreciated. And do call and talk to them. You know, Jonathan, we're about out of time, done with the last 2 minutes or so. I don't know what else we can say to help people understand the importance of who you are and what you do. I know there are other groups out there that are fighting hard also. I know that. But I've come to know you folks, respect you, know you personally, respect you and what you've done and what your organization is doing. And I hope that people will join me tonight and all of us saying in our hearts, thank you, and all out there that are fighting for us. And folks, there are other groups doing some great battles. So don't ignore them. But Liberty Council is one I've chosen because I know Jonathan personally. I met his wife. She's a lot prettier than he is. And he's got a beautiful little girl. So I just want you to know that I support him because I believe what you're doing. And I've seen the results, what they've done. So you give them a call. Get their address or go to lc.org. That stands for Liberty Council. lc.org. And help if you can. Jonathan, what do you want to say in closing in the last 40 seconds?
Yeah, I think Scripture encourages us. I think of 1 Kings chapter 8, where the prayer was, God be with us as he was with our fathers, you know, reaching back to that time that we've seen God's faithfulness in generations past and saying, hey, God, still be with us. I think of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. It reassures us that says that for those that are with us are more than those who are with them. There are many of us that still are holding on to God's truth, and there are probably more of us with us than are with them. 1 Chronicles 5:20 tells us that it's not our fight, but the battle Amen. Belongs to the Lord. Psalm Amen. 56, verse 9 says, on a day of retreating, I cry out for help, by which I will know that God is for us. God is on my side. And one last verse, Psalm 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You think of all the promises that God has spent at least 66 books reminding us of, but all of eternity
Amen.
Showing us that he loves us. That's what we have to rely on.
Amen. Jonathan, God bless y'all. Please give your love to your wife and a hug and kiss for me in a dollar or two, okay?
We'll do so, Pastor Bush. Thank you so much for having me.
Talk to you soon, my friend. Bye-bye. Folks, love you. See you tomorrow night with another great broadcast with Alex McFarland. Don't miss that. See you there. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.